This is a podcast to document the strange times we are living in. We are here to give musicians and the wider arts and entertainment community a way to reach an audience with their words and music, an opportunity to share their experiences during social distancing and self-isolation measures, self-hosted snapshots of this unique time. Welcome to Social Distancing Diaries.
Hello, hello there. Is that Rob from Marsicans?
It is Rob from Marsicans. Is that James from Marsicans?
It is James from Marsicans. Yeah, nice to speak to you, Rob. How are you, love?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm absolutely fantastic today, you know. Had some coffee. We're all good. All good.
Good. I've had some tea, which is my preferred hot beverage.
Oh, I've had tea as well. Don't worry about that.
Well,
you know me, Rob. You know me.
I do know you.
Jimmy Five Brews. Together. Jimmy Five Brews over here.
Yeah, man.
So, Rob, where are you based right now?
Well, at the time of recording, I'm currently sat in my bedroom, self-isolating,
nice.
Although symptom-free, in the coronavirus chaos that has ensued. Well, what about yourself?
Exactly the same. Sat on my bed, talking to you. It's just standard day, really, you know? Despite all the craziness going on out there.
So, what's going on? Tell me more about
what's going on. Basically, I'm not leaving the house, as you know, most people are. Just trying to keep myself busy. I'm trying to get some form of routine going, but it's not really happening that much at the moment. But you know, every little helps and all that. Trying to get you through the day.
Of course, I know this because I spend every waking moment with you. But for anyone who isn't aware, what would you usually be doing rather than self-isolating? How would you be spending your day?
I'd be in a rehearsal room in Leeds with yourself, more than likely.
That is probably what I'd be doing too.
Yeah. Should we tell people where we should have been right now? We wouldn't be there right now. We'd be back. But should we tell people where we should have been?
We'd had just got back from South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, where we were booked to play a number of shows, up to and including the BBC showcases at the British Music Embassy.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, isn't it? But, I mean, I've kind of got over it now because stopped feeling sorry for myself and started feeling sorry for all the people who are working a lot harder than me right now and are in, you know, a lot more. People are doing a lot more than I am right now to help everyone get through this situation. So, you know, we only had a few gigs. Puts things into perspective.
Yeah, it's something that initially I think we all probably found just an annoying and thought that this might be something that would blow over, but obviously it's...
At the time, it was kind of... It didn't really... When it was cancelled, it wasn't such a massive thing over here yet, was it? It was a bit... It was kind of, like you say, it was more annoying than anything, but then that week, later on that week anyway, the kind of severity of the situation hit.
Yeah, I don't even think in Austin that coronavirus was that much of an issue when the festival was cancelled, but I think that obviously the mayor of Austin preempted that this would become a lot worse and took that decision. So it did feel like kind of initially like overkill, but as we were proven wrong in the days that followed, it's much worse than we first suspected.
Yeah, and I guess like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm still gutted about it because we've discussed in person, but it's kind of, you know, we've been wanting to do this for so many. When we started a band, it was one of the things we wanted to do and tick off the bucket list kind of thing. So to actually have it in the diary was pretty special. But then, you know, things change.
These things happen. These global pandemics do happen.
What they're like, eh? Keep pesky pandemics.
Aside from, you know, that being cancelled and band life having to take an interesting turn, what is it that you find in worrying about all of this?
Just the kind of For me, it's more like, I mean, we live in a world anyway of unknown, and things can change week to week, and you never really have a routine with what we do. But it's the kind of complete unknown at the moment. No one knows what's going on, when it's going to end. We've postponed things and cancelled things, but you don't know when it's going to be back to normal, kind of thing. And that, for me, that's the kind of main worry. It's just you don't know when it's going to all blow over. So it's hard to plan for afterwards, because you don't know when afterwards is yet.
I suppose, like, being in a band, you're quite used to uncertainty. Like, you're quite conditioned to put in for a festival slot that you might not get, or to try and book a tour at a certain time and the venues be full, and you have to kind of just take alternate approaches to your goals. But I think, like, ultimately you do kind of get where you're trying to head eventually. Whereas with this, like, there isn't really an end point. So it's that kind of complete lack of certainty that is unsettling.
Yeah, and like, we've obviously we won't say too much on this, Rob, but like, we're currently rethinking some slight release plans and stuff, so it's affecting all that for the year, because obviously you want to keep things coming out, but you don't want to release things just kind of to no end almost. So it's kind of just changing the plans a little bit.
I think that, like,
which everyone's doing.
Total, yeah. I guess I was just going to say that the total like worldwide unprecedented nature in the modern age of all this just means that, you know, the music industry is reacting rather than planning.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, everyone is trying to work out what's the best thing to do without a kind of model to do that from.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, well, you know Adam, our sound guy. So he lives, those who don't know him, Adam, our sound guy, also lives with me. And like, he's obviously in the same boat as us, and he doesn't know. There's so many people more than artists that are affected by this. And even, obviously, I'm only talking within music as well. Obviously, outside of music, everyone's affected. But like, it goes down to every single level of people who've just been thrown into this absolute chaos. But that's, in a weird way, that's kind of helping.
Well, I was just going to say that the kind of community element in a weird way is nice.
Yeah.
Like, obviously we've seen around the world that people are coming together to thank health professionals and people who work in health services, and kind of the adverse circumstances are largely bringing people together rather than separating people, even though we can't be physically together. Like, there's a common kind of feeling of appreciation for those who are genuinely helping. I was just like, I think that the fact that, like, your own circumstances are somewhat trivialized by all of this is like, it contributes to that. Like, you usually, like, human beings, we're all quite insular, and we focus on, like, our day-to-day hurdles, and like you said, everyone's just been thrown into a who knows what's going on kind of situation, so your kind of day-to-day problems don't really matter, and you can look a little bit more macro.
Yeah Like, last night I was watching I watched a Jimmy Fallon episode, and he was recording it from home, sat behind this little desk thing that his kids had painted. And he was FaceTiming Kim Kardashian and Bon Jovi. And I thought, how interesting is what's going on right now? Like, if you'd have said 2 months ago, you're going to be watching Jimmy Fallon, who's recording a program that millions of people watch from home, interviewing really famous celebrities from home. It's like, it's so strange. I was just watching it, like, just almost baffled. I was just baffled by the whole thing.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, we will look back on, and there'll be a lot of interesting stats, and there'll be a lot of interesting conversations to be had around, like, this time, and how everyone reacted to it and how everyone dealt with it. Speaking of which, what are you doing in your flat to keep busy?
Well, I've for the first time, I've luckily a friend called Phil Barber, who is a very nice man, has lent me a laptop, and it's meant that I've been able to start doing some recording from home, which is the first time I've ever been able to do that because I don't have a laptop, Rob. So it's very nice, and to be honest, my days are flying by at the moment because it's quite novel to me, just being able to do it. So I'm kind of just spending so much time on it, which I know, I think you're doing the similar kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, as you are very aware, our writing process is usually four men in a windowless rehearsal room having mild arguments until something that resembles art comes out of the other end. But obviously we can't do that at the moment. So I am myself using a gifted laptop, a 2008 MacBook that our manager Rob gave to me many years ago.
High spec.
Thanks. Yeah. So I've managed to make it run Logic by tricking it into thinking it's a newer laptop.
Nice.
Don't ask me how I did that. And yeah, I've got a little setup. I've got some synths, I've got some pedals, and I've got some guitars. And yeah, it's new territory for me as well. I am finding it really fun. I am also finding it quite limiting at the same time, not to have anyone to bounce ideas off.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of question everything you're doing a bit more. You're like,
yeah.
Is that any good? But I'm kind of trying to not worry about that at the moment and just do it and then.
Yeah, and one thing that I'm trying to do is slightly limit myself in terms of how much I record, in terms of the tracks that I put into a session. So obviously we're four people and we always try and write in a way where four people can play the song. So I'm making sure that like I'm not writing songs that have 100 guitars on there and, you know, 50
steel,
synth parts.
A steel pan orchestra. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that would probably not be appropriate.
Am I going to have to get rid of the steel pan orchestra from my songs then? Because that's basically all I've been writing at the moment.
Well, I think what's important is if you feel that steel pan orchestra is necessary, you need to get some steel pan players to come down to our rehearsal space.
That's
and
fine.
Actualize your dream.
I know a couple. Yeah. Might not be able to make an orchestra, but we have to do something, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, even if they just come down for a brew after all this, I'd love to meet new people. Seeing the same people every day, I'm sure we'll get quite old.
Yeah, I bet so, man. Anyway, what else have you been doing? Talk me through what you've been doing, Rob.
I've been watching The Tiger King on Netflix.
Yeah, you have. I think I might start it for a second time, you know.
It was a true moment in my life that I will look back on and think, wow, that changed me.
I feel like I'm still not sure of everything that went on because it's that wild. It's so hard to keep track of.
Yeah, it every time you think you've got a handle on what it is as a program, it just changes gear. And
the end of every episode, you're like, no way.
Yeah, it's got that classic Netflix clickbait, next episode loading.
You know what else
I'd
recommend off the back of that I watched? It's called
what?
The Legend of Cocaine Island on Netflix.
Right.
And it's not as wild, but oh my God, it is. It's a fun journey and it's only a one-off, it's like a one-off documentary film kind of thing. And I won't ruin it too much for you, but there's the best bit is the main guy who it's about, they've filmed all whilst he's telling the story of what happened, they've basically filmed recreation of it all. So it's done so cheesily and it's so funny. Like just even to watch it for those recreations is so funny. Honestly, I highly recommend it.
The Legend of Cocaine Island.
Yeah, it's bonkers. I would describe it as bonkers. And it's something you wouldn't believe until you actually watch it. But
that sounds like the kind of solo album title that would come out of this isolation period.
Well, Kale, our drummer, for those who don't know, Kale, our drummer, has been turning our album tracks into house remixes. So maybe you can put them all out on that.
On the legend of Cocaine Island.
I mean, it'd suit.
I was just going to say, speaking of other people, if you had to choose four people to self-isolate with, who would they be and why?
Is this four people I don't know? So, oh yeah, let's get rid of people I know personally, because then, you know, I don't want to leave anyone out.
Okay.
Apart from my dog. My dog's got to be... I'm really missing my dog right now, Rob. Yeah.
But you do know your dog.
I do know him, but he's got to be included. Also, I think I'd have to pick Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Right.
Obviously, because he's so positive. I'd just love to be around him right now. And I think he'd also beast me. And I might come out the other side of this absolutely ripped. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, that's, you know.
I think I'll also go with Terry Crews. Same reasons. If The Rock gets tired of me, Terry Crews can take over and start making me ripped. And also, he's a very positive man.
Are you suggesting that The Rock would tire first?
No, tag team. The tag team in.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'd be you that would tire before The Rock if he was trying to beast you.
Well, you're not wrong there, Rob, I'll be honest. But, you know, theoretically, I mean, they're not going to be at my house anyway, so let me dream, all right?
All right. Well, dream on. Who are the final two?
Final two. I would have to go with Paul McCartney.
And
I'd just make him a cup of tea. We'd sit around the table and I'd just say, go on, tell me about everything. And I'd just want him to talk to me. That's all I'd need, I think.
Okay. You got one more.
Fourth. Ooh. Does my dog not count then?
All right. I'm gonna count your dog because I respect him.
Right. He's a nice guy, he's Ted. You like Ted?
I do like Ted. He's a chill dog. I can get on with Ted.
Rob, if you had to pick, what would your ultimate... imagine this, right? You're at home.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I can imagine it.
Rob, imagine this, right? You're at home. You're by yourself. Yeah, I'm self-isolating. I'm really imagining that.
Right. Yeah.
What are you eating? What's your snack?
Oh, I would probably say...
I'll tell you what I think you'd pick afterwards.
Go on then.
A block of cheese. Because you love cheese, you know, man.
I do love cheese. But I think if I just continually snacked on cheese, I'd probably get really fat. And if you were staying at home with Dwayne The Rock Johnson doing exercises every day, and I turned up, you know, having eaten purely cheese, then we would be moving in different directions, shall we say.
But everything I've learned from Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Terry Crews, I could pass on to you, you know, after you've eaten your cheese. I don't mind.
Yeah, well, maybe you could. Yeah.
Anyway, what would it be?
I don't know, man. Probably, I'm eating a lot of oranges at the moment.
Oh, snap. I had a right tangy one this morning, though. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Nice little tang to finish.
I think my day peaked at that point, but, you know, yesterday it peaked. Yesterday it peaked whilst I was shaving, so you got to take the victories now.
Yeah, peaks and troughs. Everyone's going to have them in the self-isolation era. So
what, you're going to eat cheese out of a trough?
Yes, I said cheese from a trough.
Oh, my God.
So I'm looking forward to whoever edits this together. Just saying, cheese from a trough? Yeah, okay, I'd have cheese from a trough. So, yeah, Prob's oranges, man.
Nice. Well, they are great. They're a great snack. And it's always an underrated part of eating an orange is trying to peel it all in one peel.
See, I feel like that's some Krypton factor kind of stuff. I don't know if I've ever tried to do that.
Oh, honestly.
Is it satisfying?
It really is. I've not done it that many times. You've got to have the right it's got to be perfectly ripe where it doesn't stick to the orange, or you know when you try and peel a bit and just a tiny bit comes off, you don't want that.
Speaking of foods, is there anything that you've not been able to get at the supermarket?
Not really, I don't think. I just don't get the whole panic. The panic buying seems to have kind of stopped now, I think. But I just don't see, why are people buying so much pasta? There's only so much you can have.
Yeah. I couldn't actually get pasta when I wanted pasta, but it was only dried pasta. Like, I could get as much fresh pasta as I wanted to, so I just changed my recipe, which was fine.
That's exactly what I did.
But I don't really get the whole panic buying thing. I think if everyone else is doing something, we tend to do it, don't we? I don't think that there's much maliciousness in the panic buying. I think people are just, you know.
Well, I think it was one of those things as well where people see it online or on the news and then it's like, well, I'm going to have to go buy stuff now then.
I mean, I found myself in a supermarket and they were just delivering a fresh pallet of toilet paper. Like, it was coming down the aisle.
Glow behind it.
Yeah, everyone was turning round and they were making a beeline for the toilet roll. And even though I had really quite a lot of toilet roll at home, for a split second, I did think maybe I should get some while it's here. But then I thought to myself, no, you've got lots of toilet roll. You could probably make an armchair out of how much toilet roll you've got at home. Don't bother.
Wow.
So I can
an
see
armchair,
how people get caught up. Oh, yeah. If not a three-piece suite.
Wow. Would it be one that reclines? Or do you not have the technology to build a reclining toilet roll sofa?
I've got a lot of time on my hands at the moment, James. So you come back to me in 3 to 6 weeks after this self-isolation period's over, and maybe you can find yourself sitting on a reclining three-piece suite made of toilet roll.
That's pretty special, Rob. I can't wait. Thanks for the invite.
That's all right. Speaking of inviting, what are you looking forward to doing most when the social distancing measures are over with?
You know what I can't wait to do, Rob?
What can't you wait to do, James?
Do you remember those things called gigs?
Ooh, I like them.
Like, the concept is pretty wild right now. People gathering in a room together, listening to music, and we play the music. And I am kind of missing it because it's a real nice thing to do. And right, I think, coming back to what we were saying earlier on, because we don't know when the next one will be right now, that's kind of hard to get over. Because you're kind of like, well, the thing that we love doing the most is just, at the moment, on hold. So you're like, I just want to get back to doing it. And festivals, man, festivals. That's usually a highlight of my year, doing festivals. And it's looking like most are not going to be on. So I'd say getting back to doing gigs and that.
I'm really sad about festivals. Festival season's the best time of the year.
Everyone's in such a good mood, and it's just kind of, I don't know, I think it's such a big part of our culture as well. It's going to festivals with your friends and just having the best time ever. And yeah, definitely going to miss that this year. So I know you've been recording and writing music like I have.
Yeah.
But tell me some of the stuff that you don't usually like to do. Have you taken up any weird hobby? Like, for instance, I'm going on a run today, Rob, and I've had 3 runs in 3 days, and that is unheard of. And basically,
you've had the runs for 3 days.
Oh, I can't get rid of them. No, I've been running around the park for 3 days.
Oh,
and yesterday I found myself almost chasing a man, but I wasn't actually chasing a man. But a point went through my head where I was like, if I was listening to some kind of comedy music right now, it'd feel like I was chasing him up a hill, and then.
I mean, personally, I haven't been chasing men in public parks. But I think
needs must at times, you know.
My routine has definitely changed insofar as that I am going out for a regular kind of walk or run. And yeah, I wouldn't normally.
It's funny, isn't it? You'd have to really convince me to do that. Like, just go for a pointless walk. it's been something that I don't get me wrong, I like walking. I'll go, you know, go somewhere lovely and have a nice walk for a few hours, but I wouldn't just, do you fancy a walk for 15 minutes around the park? I wouldn't really do that, but you really cherish it right now.
Normally, like, I walk everywhere. Like, if I can walk somewhere, I will walk there. So, like, when we're walking...
All right, Proclaimers.
Yeah, that's me, 500 miles. But, like, I walk to rehearsal every day. It's quite far, but I do. And obviously, I'm not doing that, so... Just lying around the house, I'm getting a bit like, oh, I should really do something that requires using new legs.
Yeah, there was one day the other day where I didn't actually leave the house, and I thought about it and thought, I've moved from the bed to the sofa and then back to the bed, and I was like, what an absolute waste of a day. But I've only not left like once so far. I think I'm making sure I do try and get out, because it is. Even just 5 minute walk outside clears your head so much, and it's so worthwhile.
Yeah, I've kind of had a few little episodic down periods during this, despite the fact that I'm self-isolating with my girlfriend and a really good friend. It is kind of a little bit, I suppose, suffocating knowing that you're not allowed to go and do anything, even if like I wouldn't. Like, if I would have normally spent a weekend sitting in with the people that I like, drinking beer and watching silly films on Netflix, like, because that's the only thing I'm allowed to do, being a little bit oppressive at points. So going out and being outside has definitely, like, just helped to clear the decks a bit and just reset.
Yeah, one thing I think I've been, like, we were talking about this the other day, but chatting to quite a few people, it seems to be like everyone has a few good days in them, and then, you know, like, the feeling good about everything and being positive, and then just a couple of days where the world doesn't make sense and the kind of, you know, situation we're in takes over. But I mean, it's gonna do, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. One thing that I'm doing, which I think is quite good for me, is I'm limiting my news intake. Like, I'm only
massively
only watching the news when I wake up in the morning, and then I'm just trying not to go anywhere near it for the rest of the day. I was watching the kind of updates, the coronavirus updates that the Prime Minister was doing and the Chief Medical Officer, etc. But now that the virus seems to have like really set in, I'm not finding those to be of much benefit. Like,
yeah, it's not like at the start it was kind of, you needed it every day to find out, you know, what if there were any changes in what we could do or things like that. But now it's kind of just
stay at home.
Here's what's happened today. But I mean, I know that's important, but you don't need that sometimes, do you? Like, I mean, you know what I mean. You don't need it for your own sake. You kind of, it's just going to drive you even more up the walls.
Just looking at like figures on a screen about death tolls each day and things, like, even though that's something that you can't ignore, ultimately it's something that probably isn't good for helping with your anxiety, etc.
Yeah, it's not good to dwell over, is it?
No. And like, realistically, as long as you are self-isolating as much as possible, there's nothing more that you can do to help. So you know, trying to carry that weight is just a bit, it's a bit futile. So yeah, I'm trying to stay out of watching the news and trying to stay off my phone as much as I can, because there's a lot of kind of misinformation on social media and people kind of panicking about things, and none of it is kind of corroborated by any fact. So that's worse than watching the news for me.
Yeah, I'm massively, man.
Because I find myself just reading comment sections and doing things that I wouldn't otherwise be doing, because I'd normally be busy probably having mild arguments with you about melodies.
no, use that card.
But yeah, I find with more time, I'm just more able to sit and scroll, and I really don't think it's good for my head.
Yeah, yeah. I think also, I know this might sound weird, but because I've now got the laptop, I'm not on my phone, and you know, I don't really have all the apps. You don't have the apps just a click away. I mean, I know you can just go on Facebook, but I've not developed that as a habit yet. on a laptop. It's not like, you know, when you think your thumb just does what it wants on your phone, doesn't it? But currently I open my laptop and I'll open up Logic or something, or go read some other,
yeah, and it's,
some other nonsense it's, that totally unrelated. It's quite nice.
It's probably a good thing for others to think about as well. Like if you do have something productive you can be doing work wise or a hobby that can keep you busy, like my girlfriend's doing a lot of colouring, like she's got a lot of adult colouring books, which don't get me wrong, I teased her about when she bought, but it's stopping her from just mindlessly scrolling Instagram. You know, it's just keeping you occupied, which is good, I think.
Anyway, on keeping occupied, Rob, shall we? You know, like we've been using our Logic, been writing some music and recording some music. Should we?
Yes.
Should we show off the little acoustic recording?
Yeah, I think that you should introduce this for anyone who's listening.
Well, I'll introduce and say a little. So, if you've been listening, thanks for listening. First of all, hope we've not bored you too much. We're Marsicans, and this is an acoustic version of Juliet from Two Living Rooms. Hope you like it. Thanks again.
I'm a Juliet. There's something glowing. It keeps on going. There's 70% have the moon showing. I sleep, I still never know when. Out on the Juliet, I remember the times we spent together. It's time for a curtsy, there's a major. I've seen, but I can't be here. Tomorrow I'll figure it out. I'm overthinking this, trying hard not to get out. I'm overthinking this, tomorrow I'll figure it out. To the air, and the wind's blowing. It keeps me going. What are we here for? What are we doing? When it blows my mind, just trying. Out on the Juliet, it's a prelude. Try and picture life without you. I'm looking over, don't want to intrude. Put some flowers around. Tomorrow I'll figure it out. I'm overthinking this, trying hard not to get out. I'm overthinking this, tomorrow I'll figure it out. Tonight I let in the cold, hoping it'll turn the tide, but it's four outside. Tonight I look up again, settle down as the light surfs in. Trying hard not to get out. I'm overthinking this. Tomorrow I'll figure it out. I'm overthinking this. Trying hard not to get out. I'm overthinking this. Tomorrow I'll figure it out.
Thank you for listening to Social Distancing Diaries. If you want to discuss your own experiences, join the conversation. You can reach us on socialdistancingdiaries@gmail.com, @sddpod on Twitter, @socialdistancingdiariespod on Instagram, and on facebook.com/socialdistancingdiaries. Social Distancing Diaries is a Dark Shepherd production, voiceover by Gemma Moore. Theme music is This City by Treasure Season. Edited by Jed Shepherd. Concept by Tom Dark.